morning. Happy Cinco de Mayo here at the Freedom Station. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL with Mike Levins here. You can go ahead and call in. Let your voice be heard this morning. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, or 1-877-667-1180. That's 1-877-667-1180. Hope you're planning on having a civil Cinco de Mayo. We got that. We're going to talk about that. We got our scripture of the day. We've got conflicting reports on the gun incident in Baltimore. We're going to touch on that. And how NBC calls Cinco de Mayo a quintessentially American holiday. And how wrong that is. Well, they think it's right. We'll get into it. As to why they think it's an American holiday. It's really a Mexican holiday. We just like to... Apparently over here in the States, we just like to celebrate the booze of it. Good morning and welcome to the program. Hope you're enjoying your ride over to wherever you're going this morning. And we also have ISIS claiming responsibility for a Texas shooting, threatening more attacks. We're going to get into that. I got a CNN article pulled up on that. Good morning on the Cinco de Mayo. Before we go ahead and get into the headlines, I just want to say be responsible today. As you're out there enjoying this wonderful Cinco de Mayo Tuesday, we know that Cinco de Mayo is known for its booziness, so keep it chill, especially on those roads, because I guarantee you the police will be out looking, so do not try anything that you're going to regret. That's all I have to say about that. But Cinco de Mayo, a little bit of history here. It's the 5th of May. It's literally all it means, Cinco de Mayo, the 5th of May. Commemorates the Mexican Army's 1862 victory over France at the Battle of Puebla. That's from history.com. It's kind of a minor holiday in Mexico, but in the United States, it's become this celebration, this grandiose celebration, and sometimes an excuse to party and get drunk. I mean, let's be real. Let's be honest here. But that's what Cinco de Mayo really is. Just a little bit of history there. It's got different traditions, including parades, mariachi music, street festivals, and those are all throughout Mexico and the United States. So in 1861, Benito Juarez, that was the Mexican president, became president of a country that was in a lot of trouble. And in response to France, Britain, Spain, sending naval forces to Veracruz to demand reimbursement on debts the country owed, Britain and Spain negotiated with Mexico and withdrew, but France, ruled by Napoleon III, decided to take part of the territory. So that was the conflict, and it really celebrates the Battle of Puebla, which that kind of set the stage for it. So, you know, a little bit about what Cinco de Mayo really is about. Cinco de Mayo, quintessentially American holiday. The NBC article reads, "Ah, Cinco de Mayo. For many Americans, a time to drink and make merry. For others, it's an annual rite of spring to blast the Mexican holiday's commercialized boozy image in the U.S. Drinco de Mayo, anyone? That's the article reading there. I like that little touch they added in there. Controversy aside, and why does there have to be controversy? There really doesn't have to be controversy on Cinco de Mayo. I'm just pointing it out for fun, that's all. So you can go ahead and enjoy your day. Just don't do anything stupid, because trust me, police will be watching the roads, and don't make this DUI day for you. Please, and don't make it DUI day for the rest of us either, because you think that it just affects you, it affects everyone around you. So let's keep it chill today and keep the booze to a minimum. Cinco de Mayo, you enjoy it the right way. Now we're going to go to our scripture of the day. This is John 2, and we're going to go down to verse 7. Jesus said to the servants, "Fill the jars with water." So they filled them to the brim. Then he told them, "Now draw some out and take it to the master of the banquet." They did so. And the master of the banquet tasted the water that had been turned into wine. He did not realize where it had come from, though the servants who had drawn the water knew. Then he called the bridegroom aside and said, "Everyone brings out the choice wine first and then the cheaper wine, after the guests have had too much to drink. But you have saved the best till now." What Jesus did here in Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him. Now, on a side note on our scripture of the day today, some people look at this as an excuse that Jesus condoned drinking in excess, and that's not what he's getting at. In fact, wine back in ancient times had a much lower alcohol content than it does today, and mainly because wine was one of the main sources of hydration, because water could not always be trusted because of different bacterial contaminants and things they did not know how to clean out of their water. So wine was something that would be consumed often. So when Jesus turned all of these jars of water into wine, he was not necessarily condoning going out there and getting sloshed. Now, am I reading this just because of Cinco de Mayo? No, there's more to this story than just Jesus turning water into wine. And if you look at the bottom, at verse 11, what Jesus did here, this is how it reads, "In Cana of Galilee was the first of the signs through which he revealed his glory, and his disciples believed in him." Now, how much of a symbol, because I've talked about this before on the show, how much of a symbol is it that Jesus would turn water into wine at a wedding? Because that's where he's at. It's a marriage ceremony. It's a wedding at Cana. This is his first miracle. And how fitting is it that his first miracle is turning water into wine? Wine, which would later become another symbol, which was a symbol back then for completing a marriage covenant, a marriage agreement. The bride and the groom would both drink wine together, and then that would be their commitment to one another. So at communion, when Jesus drank wine and said, "Do this in remembrance of me," it wasn't merely a memorial. What he was really doing was establishing a covenant with believers in him, and that when he drank the wine, what would happen is that would be the covenant, and the groom would go prepare after that time. And this was the custom in ancient times. This isn't just something that I'm pulling out of thin air. He would go, the groom, and prepare a place for his bride, a place where they could live, a home, essentially. And then at a time when the bride did not know, and when she did not expect it, the groom would come like a thief in the night. That's where that scripture comes from. That was the tradition. And steal away his bride, and then they would be wed. They would be wed before that, but they wouldn't be able to consummate the marriage until that night. And that is a tradition. So we have a beautiful picture here of what Jesus is going to show us later in communion, and that symbolizing of marriage and covenant between him and those who believe in him, his church, which is called the Bride of Christ. So we have much more here than simply Jesus turning water into wine. God's word always has more in it than we sometimes ever see. But this is our scripture of the day today, and look at it as a reminder of how wonderful God is in all of his infinite wisdom and the love that he sent down to us through his son, Jesus Christ, giving us a symbol of that love through the ancient customs of marriage at the time. It's a very powerful, powerful picture indeed. So don't use this as an excuse to go get sloshed. That is not what it is. It is still a sin to get drunk. And I could reference that scripture if you want to. So don't do that. Kind of think of what Paul said in Romans. Now that we have grace, now that we're forgiven of our sins, should we sin more? No. Yeah, so don't think that way. I know it's tempting. I know. We're all human. It's tempting for me too, but don't do it. Don't you do it. You're going to wind up in a lot more trouble than you think. So that's our scripture of the day today on the Cinco de Mayo. It's a wonderful, wonderful day. Hopefully you guys have some good times out there. Just be responsible today. We've got that. We've got so much more coming up here on the program. We always do. We always have too much to get to before we could actually finish one thing. It seems like there's another thing that develops. The news is always so changing today. You know, and I didn't read this in our scripture of the day, and this is important. Let's go ahead and read at the beginning of the chapter. On the third day, a wedding took place in Cana in Galilee. Jesus' mother was there, and Jesus and his disciples had also been invited to the wedding. When the wine was gone, Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine." Now, I will say this, that in those days, if you had a wedding and ran out of wine, that was almost like a disgrace. So that was a huge deal. When Jesus' mother said to him, "They have no more wine," that was almost like an insult to the guests. And isn't it funny that Jesus provided? We've got to head to a break, but you're on It's a New Day. We're going to get to more in the headlines right after this.
Jeff Bush here from Informed Family Financial Services, located right here in Norristown. Are you nearing the decision about Social Security? Are you aware of the unique claiming strategies available to you when it comes to your Social Security benefits? Don't make a snap decision. Give me a call today at 610-630-4495 to schedule your no-obligation consultation. That's 610-630-4495. Representative of USA Financial Securities, member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Hi, this is John Zenzi from the West Norton Township Parks and Recreation Department. Bring the family out for a day of fun on Saturday, May 16th, to the West Norton Community Day, 12 noon to 4 p.m. at the Norristown Area High School grounds. Among some of this year's attractions are inflatable bounces from Boing Bounce Inflatables, music from Showtime DJs, pony rides, magic shows, costume characters, Penn Star helicopter landing, a stilt walker, temporary tattoo artist, special performances throughout the day, great food from local vendors, and much more. Then come back and see this year's musical guest, Sector 7, perform live from 7 to 9 p.m. with a spectacular fireworks display immediately after the show. We hope to see you on Saturday, May 16th for the 22nd annual West Norton Day.
There's hundreds of fun and simple things you and your family can do to live a healthier lifestyle. Here's 20 of them. Walk to work. Walk the dog. Have the dog walk you. Take a hike. Take a bike. Skate. Dance. Hop. Jump. Do the Humpty Hump. Skip seconds. Skip dessert. Skip, skip, skip to Malou. Don't skip breakfast. Drink H2O. Lower your sodium. Raise the roof. Shake your booty. Stock up on vegetables. And don't forget to eat them. Search We Can online to find more ways you and your family can get healthy together. A message from the Ad Council, HHS, and NIH's We Can program.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
Welcome back to the program, and thanks for listening to It's a New Day at 1180 WFYL with Michael Levins. You can call in at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255, and let your voice be heard this morning. You can also call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. How would you like to be kissed by a random woman? Well, that's exactly what happened to gentlemen in Wellesley, Massachusetts, where apparently there's a tradition where the women of Wellesley College traditionally offer kisses to runners. Yeah, that's right. A Tennessee woman apparently is searching for a stranger, or was. She kissed while running the Boston Marathon this year. She says she finally heard back. And get this, from the mystery man's wife. Ooh. Surprise, surprise. Welcome to the program. Again, let your voice be heard. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. Toll free. Barbara Taj, at least I think that's how you say her name, says her daughter had dared her to kiss a random good-looking man as she ran through the town of Wellesley. I think I'm saying that right. If I'm not, I'm sure we're probably going to get some kind of email. By the way, you could email me in a flash at michael@1180wfyl. That's michael@1180wfyl. So go ahead and do that as quick as you can. Where the women of Wellesley College, they offer kisses to runners. After the April 20th race, her daughter took to social media trying to find the man. This is a Fox News article. Clearly left an impression on her mom. Taj, however you say that, says the Wellesley Townsman, a Boston area news outlet, passed on a letter addressed to her Sunday after the campaign generated nationwide attention. The identified man's wife said the attention was fun, but that the couple wanted to remain anonymous. Quote, "When this story aired on the news, we were pretty surprised," the mystery man's wife wrote in a portion of the letter quoted by the Townsman. "For me, I'm not mad. Believe me, our friends have gotten a lot of mileage out of this story, and I have thoroughly enjoyed watching them give my husband grief." Oh, she's not mad. Every man who's been married for more than a year knows that that's not true. I'm sure there's some anger in there somewhere regarding this. The wife continued, "While this may not be the ending that you had hoped for, that spontaneous, silly moment in Wellesley captured the fun, energy, and spirit of the Boston Marathon. I greatly admire your spunk and courage and wish you many happy races in the future. Congratulations on your Boston finish." And that was to the woman who kissed her husband, which, you know, that is a pretty civil way of doing things, isn't it? Tage said she wrote back to the wife Monday, thanking her for her graciousness and good humor. The letter was so kind and good-hearted. "She's a great sport, and he's fortunate to be married to someone like her." Tage also apologized for any embarrassment the search may have caused. Quote, "I just wanted her to know that the media firestorm stemmed from my loving daughter's good-hearted dare. I didn't want to cause any discomfort to him or his family." Tage said she's been touched by the support she's received, but is happy to move on. She also hopes to run the Boston Marathon again, but with one important caveat. "Moving forward, I'm going to revert to only kissing single men." Whoa, if you didn't know that he was single, then, or if you didn't know he was married, then no problem. But if you knew he was married and still kissed him, you just gave up the goose there. Only going to kiss single men now. How would you like to be kissed by a random person while you're watching, apparently? And he was just watching. I think she was the runner. So it's not like he was running and he kissed her. So a little bit out of the tradition there. But what in the world? A dare to kiss somebody. If she's single, she's single. You got to think of what kind of guy. You don't know who you're kissing. You don't know what's on there. Yeah, I can't. Why would you? I can't imagine that. Why would you do that? That's just something. I can't wrap my head around it. I don't know why. But it's something that just, I gotta say, though, any man who's been married for more than a year, no, hold on, let me rephrase that. Any man who's been in a relationship with a woman for over 10 minutes knows that statement, that for me, I'm not mad, could not be farther from the truth. Maybe she's not mad at him directly. But I have to say this, and this is what she said. "I have thoroughly enjoyed watching them give my husband grief." Oh, tell me she's not mad. Yeah, there was something there, I think. And I'm glad it resolved well. Not just for the woman who kissed the husband, but for the husband himself. Call in at 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or 1-877-667-1180. Now, we have conflicting reports on a gun incident in Baltimore. We're going to read that now. About a police chase that may have involved gunfire.
roiled Baltimore Monday, as Fox News reports. An initial report from Fox News Channel crew on the scene indicated a man had been shot while being chased by police, but authorities later said a gun dropped by a fleeing man had gone off and that no one was hit by a bullet. Police Lieutenant Colonel Melvin Russell said police had chased the unidentified man after he had been seen on a security camera carrying a gun. The revolver was recovered and one cartridge had been spent. Earlier, a witness had told a news crew she saw the shooting take place and claimed the victim was not armed. That's just the bare bones report of this incident. We're going to see how this story develops, as we do with all stories here. Can't really make any conclusions from that. It's a pretty thin story. It's a pretty thin report. So please don't jump to conclusions. I swear, if this causes another riot in another city when no one knows anything about anything, I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm going to start pulling out my own hair. Whatever's left, I'm not going bald. I still have plenty of hair. But I am worried, though, because my grandfather was like a cue ball at age 30. So I want to make sure that that's not my fate. But I'm not going to put myself a little farther down the road. What do you think? What's your voice wishing to say? 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. I can only imagine that there's some explanation. There always is. But I'll go ahead and read the report, because it's very thin. It's very small. Again, conflicting reports. It's involving gunfire. A Fox News Channel crew on the scene indicated a man had been shot while being chased by police, but authorities later said a gun dropped by a fleeing man had gone off and no one was hit by a bullet. Police Lieutenant Colonel Melvin Russell said police had chased the unidentified man after he had been seen on a security camera carrying a gun. The revolver was recovered and one cartridge had been spent. A witness had told the news crew she saw the shooting take place and claimed the victim was not armed. And above that is a picture of the identified man as seen in a stretcher after gunfire. So there was a revolver, there was a shot that went off. That's all we know right now. We'll get more on that story as it develops, but let's not be a nation that jumps to conclusions, because we've seen how that ends, right? I'd hope that we're better than that. But there are those who are going to simply jump on a bandwagon and hear what they want to hear. We've got to wait till all the facts are out there, folks. If we don't wait till all the facts are out there, then we're basically out there for nothing. At least that's what I think. What do you think? Again, we'll take your calls. You can go toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. 1-877-667-1180. We're hitting a break. We're going to get into the attack ISIS is claiming responsibility for it. Has ISIS landed? Well, we're going to talk about that. We're going to look at the facts here on It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. The Islamic State terrorist group claims responsibility for an attack at a Muhammad cartoon exhibit in Garland, Texas. Fox has not confirmed this audio statement's authenticity, and Mayor Douglas Athes says,
"Well, I think it would be very easy for them to take claim and still have nothing to do with it."
Both suspects were killed by a police officer. A security guard was shot in the leg. At the penalty phase of Johar Tsarnaev's Boston Marathon bombing trial,
Johar Tsarnaev's defense team showing the Boston Marathon bombing jury a picture of a smiling young Johar doing his homework, a cousin saying he was so warm and caring. And although his mother was tough, she melted when 4-year-old Johar cried at the Lion King. In the first show of emotion in over 4.5 months of court appearances, Tsarnaev himself dabbing his eyes with a tissue, and as he was let out of court, blowing a kiss to his family.
Fox News Radio's Bill Marcus. Jurors are deciding whether Tsarnaev gets the death penalty. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Hi, I'm Scott Newcomer with Christian Businessmen's Connection, CBMC. Are you a Christian businessman? Do you feel like an ambassador in your workplace? In 2 Corinthians 5:20, the Apostle Paul tells us that Christ followers are ambassadors for Christ. So do you feel like one? Do you know how to walk like one? If you'd like to learn more about how to be a marketplace ambassador, walking daily in intimacy with God, how to be discipled or disciple others, how to share your faith simply in the marketplace, how to apply biblical principles to your life, and how to have a group of like-minded Christian businessmen around you to encourage you, basically to be the man God designed you to be, right where you work, right where God has you, contact us at CBMC and get connected. Just go to cbmc.com or call me, Scott Newcomer, at 610-304-1493. That's 610-304-1493.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. This month, Pennsylvania Family Institute's Independence Law Center is bringing on a second constitutional attorney, Jeremy Samick is his name, to augment our efforts to defend the sanctity of life, the institution of marriage and the family, and religious freedom. Now, we're not adding staff just to grow larger, far from it, but because, quite frankly, the threats to liberty and the requests for help from churches, pastors, individuals, and businesses dealing with these challenges are growing and becoming overwhelming. Now, would you consider a tax-deductible gift today to help us meet this growing need? We offer our legal services without cost, but we can only do so with your help.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. We depend on your prayers and financial support. To donate, log on to pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
Welcome back to the program. It's a new day on 1180 WFYL. You can go ahead, call in, let your voice be heard this morning at 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Mike Levin's here, toll free, also at 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. We've got many things to discuss in the headlines today, and happy Cinco de Mayo, by the way. If you're just joining the program, welcome, and thank you for listening. It's a pleasure to have you with us this morning on this beautiful Cinco de Mayo Tuesday. And, you know, Cinco de Mayo just means the 5th of May, by the way, right? I would think that that's, you could probably come up with a more creative name than just the 5th of May. Of course, it's a purely American holiday. We have the 4th of July, so that's not necessarily that creative at all. I guess Independence Days, you just basically say the date that it happened, and that's what you call it. You don't necessarily call it Independence Day or something like that. That was a great movie, by the way. I love that movie, Independence Day. When I was a kid, I'd watch that all the time. The jets flying in and shooting the missiles at the little alien ships. And if you haven't seen it, it's a great movie from the 90s. You should definitely check it out. Will Smith at his best. But anyway, I digress. It's Cinco de Mayo here at the Freedom Station, and we've got a rather sober Cinco de Mayo for the beginning of the program, and we're going to keep it that way, by the way, and suggest you do the same. Don't you go trying anything stupid out there on the roads. We know that there are going to be many of you that do, but many of you are going to fail at the hands of law enforcement, and for that, we thank them. We're enforcing the law. We've got a headline at CNN.com. ISIS claims responsibility for Texas shooting.
and threatens more attacks. That's right, ISIS is claiming responsibility for this attack. If you haven't heard about it, we just had the news reporting on it earlier before we came to this spot in our program, but we're going to talk about it right now. What happened is a cartoon contest. And not just about anyone, but about the Prophet Muhammad in Garland, Texas. In a broadcast, this is from CNN.com, on its official radio channel Tuesday, the group said that how does ISIS have an official radio channel? Radio is pretty easy to pinpoint, I would think. And how have we not bombed that to smithereens yet? We're attacking ISIS targets, but we're leaving their communications. Anyway, that's a side thought. The group said two Al-Khalifa soldiers attacked the event. Khalifa? I hope I'm saying that wrong, because in my mind, they don't have enough respect to be pronounced right, is how ISIS refers to its soldiers. Oh, great. Okay, well, they're Khalifa. The two gunmen, Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi, wounded a security guard before police shot and killed them. The ISIS radio announcer also referred to Simpson and Sufi as the terror group's brothers. The announcement ended with this warning. We say to the defenders of the cross, that's a nice title, I like that title, the U.S., that future attacks are going to be harsher and worse. The Islamic State soldiers will inflict harm on you with the grace of God. I like how they throw that in there. The Islamic State soldiers will inflict harm on you with the grace of God, by the way. The future is just around the corner. That's finishing the statement that they said there. I have no problem making fun of this, by the way. And if you think maybe that I'm being insensitive or that I'm not treating the problem as the issue it really is, believe me, it is an issue. But these men, and some women, in my mind, do not deserve any respect for the heinous acts they are willingly participating in and how they are trying to intimidate the entire world. I do have to say this, though. I like that label they threw on the U.S., and that speaks to something, doesn't it? We say to the defenders of the cross, the U.S., you know, I like that, actually. You could keep on calling me that. That I don't mind at all. Now, that says a lot, doesn't it? That they would call our nation the defenders of the cross, for all those who say that our nation doesn't have a Christian heritage. Well, when your enemy uses that against you as something bad, and they accuse you of that, well, then maybe there's some truth to it. Unfortunately, we have to hear it from terrorists, though, instead of looking at it on ourselves. What do you think? Let your voice be heard. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. Reading on in this article, when ISIS claimed responsibility 2 days after the Sunday attack, there was no immediate indication that the terror group in Iraq and Syria actually had contact with Simpson or Sufi, who both lived in Phoenix. U.S. authorities have said they are investigating whether Sunday's shooting has any link to international terrorism, but there are clues that one of the gunmen was an ISIS sympathizer. And that obviously makes sense, but for the reasons that they say, and I'll read that in just a moment, see, it goes beyond simply ISIS. This is something that is derived in a large part by a large segment of Islam. Let me read it. Moments before the attack, Simpson posted an ominous tweet with the hashtag Texas Attack. Quote, may Allah accept us as Mujahideen. Now, if that makes you an ISIS sympathizer, then Al-Qaeda's an ISIS sympathizer. Then Boko Haram is an ISIS sympathizer. And by the way, we've already talked about how between Muslims, there's this huge rift with Shias and Sunnis and the reasons for that. Basically, both claiming that they have authority, whether it derives directly from Muhammad's bloodline or through political descendants. That was how it got started. And Iran is a majority Shia nation, while Saudi Arabia is a majority Sunni nation. Al-Qaeda is a Sunni organization, whereas ISIS, I believe, and I may be wrong on this, is Shia. So this is not merely something that could be confined to an ISIS sympathizer or any kind of excuse for their actions. That quote, "May Allah accept us as Mujahideen," that is broad over a large segment of Islam. Whether they choose to accept it or not, jihad and Mujahideen, which, by the way, is the only guarantee of salvation in Islam, to die while being a fighter for Allah. That's the only guarantee that Allah will essentially accept you into heaven, into paradise. And that's where we get the whole 72 virgins thing and all that. That's the only guarantee. In my mind, it's a horribly oppressive belief. It's a horribly oppressive religion. Now don't rush to judgment on that statement that I just said here. I have reasons. It's completely works-based. Think about that. You have to work to be good. Now, not that you shouldn't work to be good. As Christians, we do that. We do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. But our salvation isn't contingent on how many good things we do versus how many bad things we do. That's why it's called the gospel. It's good news that you basically are forced, and we all know we've done horrible things. We've done bad things in all of our lives as humans, the human race. We can all acknowledge that. It's completely works-driven. You're basically trying to earn the approval of Allah. What kind of father is that? See, the difference between Islam and Christianity is that Christianity, our Father loves us because of His own act of sending His Son to die for everything we've done wrong. We're right in His sight because of that, if we choose to accept Jesus. And we don't need to work anymore. It's about our heart, not about our deeds. And what happens is when your heart begins to change, so do your deeds. Because I think it's always interesting that whenever a large terrorist leaders, I remember this being in the headlines when Osama bin Laden was killed. I believe they found large stashes of pornography. I may be mistaken on that, but that's not the first time I've heard something like that when a terrorist leader has been killed or raided or has been ousted. And that's a scandal in Islam. These men and women trying to live by works, it does not work. I'm not saying every Muslim has a stash of pornography. I'm not saying that at all. But what I'm saying is that it's an impossible standard, and it's a horrible thing to live under. It's a terrible thing to live under. And all these attacks, that's the only guarantee in the Quran of quote-unquote salvation. And how horrible is that? How horrible. That's why it's even appealing to go and die and fight in jihad. Because of that. Let your voice be heard this morning. 610-539-TALK. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I got something wrong. 610-539-8255 or toll free at 1-877-667-1180. But that's the difference. That's how terrible I believe it is. It's such an oppressive religion because it's all do this, do that, don't do this, don't do that. And that determines how much you're worth. I mean, imagine, and many of you, maybe you're listening, have had to do this, try to earn the love of your Father. It's not just freely given. That's a terrible thing to be under. God gave us that love freely through His Son, Jesus Christ. We got to head to a break. We're going to be back in just a minute. Don't go away.
Chances are there'll never be an emergency ever again. But just in case, let's talk about a plan.
Okay.
Who is going to grab the go bag?
What's a go bag?
It is a bag we do not have that is filled with things we really, really need in an emergency.
Guess we won't have to worry about it then.
Well, this is great. I am so glad that we don't have a plan.
I know. Winging It is not an emergency plan. Make sure your kids know what to do during an emergency, who to call, where to meet, what to pack. Visit ready.gov/kids for tips and information. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Hi, friends. This is Janet Parshall, host of In the Market, coming to you on Moody Radio. Ever wake up in the morning, turn on the morning news, and you just feel like you're out of focus, not quite sure how you should respond as a follower of Jesus Christ? Well, that's what In the Market is designed to do. We take a look at those headlines. We take a look at that news, but we do it in a markedly different way. We look at it through the lens of Scripture. Why? So you'll go out in the marketplace of ideas for His sake. Join us for In the Market with Janet Parshall.
We are pleased to be adding Janet Parshall to our program schedule Sundays at 12:05, right here on 1180 AM WFYL, working for your liberty.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
May 5th, 1988, President Ronald Reagan signed an act of Congress designating the first Thursday in May as a National Day of Prayer. This has always been part of American life. Indeed, President Washington declared a National Day of Prayer during his first year in office. President Madison did during the War of 1812, Lincoln during the Civil War, and President Woodrow Wilson during World War I. It was President Harry S. Truman, though, who made it an annual event, saying, "In times of national crises, when we are striving to strengthen the foundations of peace, we stand in special need of divine support."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
In 1778, George Washington said in Valley Forge, "If having pleased the Almighty Ruler of the Universe to defend the cause of the United States, and finally to raise up a powerful friend among the princes of the earth, to establish our liberty and dependence upon a lasting foundation, it becomes us to set apart a day of gratefully acknowledging the divine goodness and celebrating the important event which we owe to His divine interposition. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land." 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Welcome back. You're listening to It's a New Day, 1180 WFYL. Thank you for listening, by the way. That's your voice be heard this morning, 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll-free, 1-877-667-1180, 1-877-667-1180. We were just talking about the ISIS incident. ISIS claiming responsibility, at least that's what it's being called. You know what? Maybe it shouldn't be called that. The incident in Texas. But ISIS is claiming responsibility for it. That's what we were talking about just beforehand. Calling themselves, or accept, or this is the quote, "May Allah accept us as Mujahideen." That was in a tweet before the attack, which was labeled hashtag Texas Attack. The tweet also said he and his fellow attacker had pledged allegiance to Amirul Mumineen, which means leader of the faithful. CNN terrorism analyst, is a CNN article, by the way. Paul Cruikshank said that likely refers to ISIS leader Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. I'm going to say that five times fast. And earlier, Simpson had asked his readers on Twitter to follow an ISIS propagandist. This guy actually had readers on Twitter? That's despicable. After the shooting, the propagandist tweeted, "Allahu Akbar, two of our brothers just opened fire." Both Twitter accounts have been deactivated. Interesting, they weren't deactivated before then. Although I will say that it's very hard to manage millions upon millions of accounts. In 2011, Simpson
was convicted of making a false statement involving international and domestic terrorism. Prosecutors said he told FBI agents that he had not discussed traveling to Somalia to engage in, quote, violent jihad, when, in fact, he had, according to an indictment. Simpson was sentenced to 3 years of probation, court records show. Sufi, on the other hand, was relatively unknown to federal investigators, a law enforcement official told CNN. Authorities knew of no indication the two planned to launch Sunday's attack, another law enforcement official said. 3 years probation. What about rehabilitative treatment? Rehabilitation. When he had... And do we have the ages on these men? Because I'm guessing that they're young men. Young, angry men. Which is what Islam, with its violence infested in it, tends to draw. Young, angry individuals who have an outlet through jihad. Was there any kind of rehabilitative treatment? Not just 3 years probation? Violent acts of terror in Somalia. He lied. Instead, just got 3 years probation. No kind of follow-up. No kind of... That's why the gospel is the only answer. The only answer. Because even when you rehabilitate someone like that, what are you going to tell them? What you're believing is wrong? So stop it? Yeah, because that'll work. Because it's that easy when people invest their whole lives. I mentioned, by the way, there is a huge revival going on in the Middle East right now, where Muslims are coming to Jesus. Have I mentioned that before? It's astonishing. At the same time, while Christians are being persecuted, killed by Muslims in ways that the world has not even imagined, the Holy Spirit is moving among Muslims and is bringing them to Him, to Jesus Christ. How beautiful a picture that in the face of such hatred and animosity, that God is working His true love and grace, not the grace of Allah. What grace is that? Grace that kills you by the grace of Allah? I can't believe it sometimes. Let your voice be heard. 610-539-8255, 610-539-TALK, or toll-free 1-877-667-1180. Now, Islam is finding quite fertile ground, might I add, here in the United States, more fertile than any of us ever suspected, especially after September 11th. I remember the controversy after September 11th, when I was younger, was that people were being profiled for looking like an Arab or a Muslim in airports, and that was unjust. I remember that being the huge story. And that there was this undercurrent of fear towards Muslims and Arabs, especially after September 11th. That was our real first wake-up call. And I know we had the attacks on the World Trade Center before then, but that was our major wake-up call that changed the world to Islam and violence in Islam. And I'm sure there are plenty of wonderful people who are Muslims. In fact, I'm positive of it. But it is such an oppressive religion. It is taking root in our nation because of the anger in young people regarding the destruction of families. Whether it's caused by drugs or divorce or alcohol or you pick it. And did you ever notice that? Islam attracts young people, angry young people. And I don't think many of us know why. And it scares our nation. It scares America that we would have Americans raised in the States who would willingly want to go and fight for ISIS. That thought scares us, and we don't want to address the reasons as to how that could happen and why that could happen. Because we think that if we simply talk to someone and say, what you're believing is wrong and you need to stop it, that they'll listen. What you don't understand is that that is never going to happen. You can't tell someone what they're doing is simply wrong and expect that because you think it's wrong, they're going to change. What kind of sense of entitlement is that? Let your voice be heard. 610-539-TALK, 610-539-8255. That's why the gospel is the only answer. It gives them something else to latch onto than this violence, than this hatred, this death and destruction. The real grace of Jesus, not the grace of Allah, there is no grace. There is no grace with Allah. It's completely based on how good you are. You're constantly trying to earn your Father's love. Does that sound like grace? Literally. Hopefully you do more good things than bad things. That's why there's so many rules, so many laws in Islam, Sharia law. And that's appealing because we have a whole generation that is trying to prove itself because of the breakdown of the family in this nation. You can call toll-free at 1-877-667-1180. Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe I've got it wrong. Toll-free, 1-877-667-1180. But this was all over what? Well, we've got another Charlie Hebdo kind of incident. Cartoons being drawn of the Prophet Muhammad. You want to know of one of the ridiculous rules in Islam? I believe. You can't draw, there's no image that can be drawn of the Prophet Muhammad. I'm sure many people are thinking, well, in Christianity, you're not supposed to have any graven image of God. And look at all the wonderful sculptures, look at all the paintings and all the of Jesus and God that depict. Yeah, that was really going after worshiping those things. Now, I will say this, some people do just that. They worship an image, even in Christian circles. But that's where all this came from. The Prophet Muhammad being drawn as a cartoon. We're going to get a little bit more into that story. We've got more in the headlines. We'll be back right after this. Don't go anywhere. Thanks for listening, by the way. It's a new day, 1180 WFYL.
I'm Jay Farner with some great news on how you could save an average of $3,000 per year on your mortgage. Call Quicken Loans now at 800-QUICKEN. To see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. The HARP guidelines have changed. There's less paperwork and often no appraisal required. Call 800-QUICKEN. That's 800-QUICKEN. Or visit quickenloans.com.
Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states and NMLS number 3030.
A wise and frugal government which shall restrain men from injuring one another shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government, taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township. This is AM 1180. AM 1180. WFYL.
King of Prussia.
Philadelphia.
Fox News Radio, I'm Lisa Brady. Was it an ISIS attack on U.S. soil? The terror group reportedly claiming credit for two gunmen apparently targeting a Prophet Muhammad cartoon contest in Texas when they were shot and killed in the parking lot by police. Fox News Radio's Tanya J. Powers with more live.
Elton Simpson and Nadir Sufi are the two suspected shooters, and Simpson's no stranger to the FBI. They've been watching him for almost a decade. As for the ISIS claim of responsibility, Garland Mayor Douglas Atha says he isn't ready to give the Islamic terror group all the credit yet.
I have no way of knowing. I don't know of any evidence that links them to actually having had a part in this.
Meanwhile, Simpson's family released a statement saying they are heartbroken, calling the attack an act of senseless violence and sending prayers to everyone affected. Lisa.
Thanks, Tanya. Secretary of State John Kerry making an unannounced visit to Somalia today, a show of solidarity in Somalia's battle with Al-Qaeda. Former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee about to launch his second run for the White House in a town called Hope, where Fox News Radio's Evan Brown is live.
Lisa, this small town of just more than 10,000 people is Mike Huckabee's hometown. It's also the hometown of former President Bill Clinton. Huckabee has said this is also the birthplace of what he's termed the Clinton machine, the effort to ensure the political success of the former president and now perhaps that of his wife Hillary. Huckabee, however, is also pointing to some of his own accomplishments as governor here in Arkansas, like improvements in the economy and education during his tenure. Lisa?
Thanks, Eben. Huckabee was fifth out of a possible 16 GOP candidates in the most recent Fox News poll. Carly Fiorina was last.
First, a couple months ago, I was nowhere in the polls. I'm not a professional politician, so I don't have the same name recognition. That's just a fact.
The former HP chief says she's used to being the underdog day after she and retired neurosurgeon Ben Carson announced their runs. You're listening to Fox News Radio, fair and balanced.
What would an extra $250 a month mean to you? For some, it's a little financial breathing room. For others, it's a car payment, a home repair, or help with college tuition. Hi, I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans, and I've got some great news if you're looking to save money on your mortgage. All it takes is a simple phone call to Quicken Loans at 800-QUICKEN to see if you qualify for the government's Home Affordable Refinance Program, or HARP. Folks who refinance with HARP can save an average of $250 a month. That's $3,000 a year. Our home loan experts fully understand the HARP guidelines, and they'll walk you through our streamlined process. And for 5 years in a row now, J.D. Power has ranked Quicken Loans highest in the nation in customer satisfaction. And this year, for the first time, they've also ranked us highest in mortgage servicing. Call 800-QUICKEN or visit quickenloans.com.
Visit jdpower.com for award information. Important terms and conditions apply. Call us for cost information. Equal housing lender. License law 50 states. NMLS number 3030.
Top Marine could become the next chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff.
General Joseph Dunford, who now serves as Commandant of the Marine Corps, is reportedly President Obama's pick to replace Army General Martin Dempsey as the nation's highest ranking military officer. General Dunford was a top commander in Afghanistan and will oversee the withdrawal of U.S. troops from the country. The 59-year-old would also be faced with threats from ISIS, as well as the threat of cyber attacks. General Dempsey is stepping down this fall after 4 years on the job. In Washington, Rachel Sutherland, Fox News Radio.
New U.S. Attorney General Loretta Lynch heads to Baltimore today as the Freddie Gray death investigation continues. President Obama emphasizing the big picture.
In announcing a spinoff of his My Brother's Keeper initiative into a new nonprofit foundation, the president said that the protests last week in Baltimore and last summer in Ferguson, Missouri, were not just about the deaths of young black men at the hands of police.
The catalysts of those protests were the tragic deaths of young men and a feeling that law is not always applied evenly in this country.
The president promised that bridging the divide between some communities and police will continue to be a top domestic priority.
Fox News Radio's John Decker at the White House. The president also commending an NYPD officer who died yesterday after confronting a suspect the night before. And on his visit to New York, the president also sitting down with fellow soon-to-be retiree, so to speak, David Letterman, saying they should hang out together. Just a few months after winning 4 Grammy Awards, Sam Smith is canceling tour dates because of vocal exhaustion.
Oh, won't you stay with me?
British soul singer flying to the U.S. for treatment after scrapping shows in Australia. He was the only solo artist to sell more than 1 million albums in the U.S. and U.K. last year. I'm Lisa Brady, Fox News Radio.
The average text takes your eyes off the road for nearly 5 seconds. Stop the texts. Stop the wrecks. Visit us at stoptextstoprex.org.
Hi, this is John Zedzi from the West Norton Township Parks and Recreation Department. Bring the family out for a day of fun on Saturday, May 16th to the West Norton Community Day, 12 noon to 4 p.m. at the Norristown Area High School grounds. Among some of this year's attractions are inflatable bounces from Boing Bounce Inflatables, music from Showtime DJs, pony rides, magic shows, costume characters, Penn Star helicopter landing, a stilt walker, temporary tattoo artist, special performances throughout the day, great food from local vendors, and much more. Then come back and see this year's musical guest, Sector 7, perform live from 7 to 9 p.m. with a spectacular fireworks display immediately after the show. We hope to see you on Saturday, May 16th for the 22nd annual West Norton Day.